Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk on this program. My talk will consist actually of two independent, basically independent parts. The first part will be about quantum control landscapes, and second is about control with engineered resolvers. So first part, quantum control landscapes. In quantum control, any problem in quantum control can be formulated as finding maximum of some objective functional. We have some set of controls. We want to find controls which maximize given objective. For complex systems, usually it is impossible to find such controls analytically, and various numerical search algorithms are used to find optimal controls, like local search methods. Their efficiency depends on some properties of objective, if it has local maxima or not. Local maxima are maxima with values less than global maximum. And here is a cartoon of two possible landscapes. These are two control variables. Of course, in experiments, number of controls is more than two, like 100. And the vertical axis is objective function. So on cartoon on the left, all maxima are of the same height, like one. So if we start from any point, from any random initial control, with local search algorithms, we always will go to the top, to global maximum of the landscape. On the right, we also have two control variables, and objective has one maximum peak here, and there are many peaks of smaller height. So if you will start from here, from some random control, which is in this region, then local search algorithm will converge to a point which has much less objective value than desired. And it is good to know, to get some a priori information, which type of, for typical quantum control problems, to which picture they correspond, to this or to this. And this part of the talk essentially based on joint work with David Tanner, Arvid Taps, and quantum control landscapes. So, first paper which formulated this problem was paper by Gershon Davis, Mike Sich, and Kerry Rosenthal in Science 2004, where the conjecture was made that for typical quantum control problems, there are no traps at all under controllability assumption, meaning what we can find. So controls which maximize the objective are experimentally available. In preprint of Pierre Fokiris and Sonia Schirmer, some examples of traps were constructed, and in our paper with David Tanner, we find discovery of general trapping behavior for. So we find some conditions on quantum systems when there is some trapping behavior. And recently, it was proved what Landau-Zinner system is trap-free. So this two-level system satisfies this conjecture, so it has no traps. So basically, I will outline this works. So basic definitions. We have, for example, closed quantum system, not necessary, but let's for simplicity consider closed, isolated from environment, unitary evolution, free Hamiltonian, control field epsilon of t, and we want to maximize some objective. Many objectives have the form of some functions of evolution operator at some fixed final time t. So we want to find global maxima of this objective, so epsilons which maximize j. Traps are local maxima of j, so controls which locally look like maxima, but for which objective value is less than maximum. When useful motion is second order traps are critical points where variation of the objective is zero, Gaussian is negative semi-definite, and objective is less than maximum value. So they look as traps for first and second order algorithms, for algorithms which use at most second order information. In principle, they can be not local maxima. The objective can grow in directions of zero. If Gaussian has zero eigenvalues, in these directions, objective can grow, but slowly at third or fourth or higher order in variation of the control. And also convenient are so-called regular controls where Jacobian has a full rank. They are convenient because basically traps and second order traps are critical points. Variation gradient of objective is equal to zero. We can write chain rule, so the delta J over delta epsilon has this form. And if this quantity has full rank, we can reduce the problem of critical points of this objective just to study critical points of function. It is function on unitary group, so function of finite number of elements. Here it is a functional, defined in the infinite dimensional control space. Some examples of objectives are state-to-state transfer. I is initial state, C is final, and this is just probability of transition from initial to final state. Another example is maximizing mean value of some observable O is Hermitian operator, rho zero initial density matrix, it's evolution of initial density matrix, and trace is average value of O of observable O at time t. And another further example of common objective is generation of a unitary process. W is a unitary matrix, some, for example, quantum circuit, quantum gate, and the objective is overlap between evolution operator at final time and W dagger. So this objective is maximized if evolution operator at time t coincides with W, so it realizes our desired unitary process. So, about regular controls, they are known not to be no traps. And basic theorem is what typical J hat, which include cases from previous slide, have exactly one maximum and one minimum value. So they don't have local maxima. These functions on unitary group. It was proven basically in science with paper and in some secant works and mathematically related works, but in different context, it goes to von Neumann, then Brocket, Glaser, and colleagues. And similar result was proven also for open systems with analogs of J hat. There is, instead of unitary, there will be some another so-called Stifel manifold of matrices. They also have exactly one maximum and one minimum value. So when there is another result, what if J hat has no traps, then regular controls cannot be traps. And therefore, basically, this work proves what regular controls are not traps for typical quantum control problems. And the conjecture was made what there are no traps at all. But non-regular controls are known to exist. They're shown later to exist. And so the question is, can they be traps? This preprint, in fact, was constructed. They constructed examples of a second order trap and example of a full trap. And the problem was it's an interesting preprint, so problem was analyzed in a closer look. So, did. Then we show what general result. So, if at least one pair of levels is not directly connected, then there exist initial states and target operator, in fact, infinitely many, for which zero control is a second order trap. So Vij is a dipole matrix element for transition between levels I and j. These levels still can be connected indirectly through forward levels. Requirement is what only there is no direct coupling. And this is a general condition for existence of second-order traps. Simplest non-trivial example is a lambda system. For two-level system, this condition means what V is equal to zero, essentially. So there is no coupling between two levels. We cannot control system. We can't do anything. So simplest non-trivial example is three-level system, lambda atom. Transition 1 and 2 is forbidden. And for this, system control epsilon 0 is a second order trap. However, for this particular case, it is not a full trap, but for this three-level system. But what about four-level and multi-level systems? It is not known if the second order traps are full traps or not. So, important is also to determine attacking basin, how close we should be to this control, so with what we are trapping. So we feel, so what the search is trapped. So we generate random initial controls close to epsilon zero, so controls of small amplitude. And for this lambda system, when we make using local algorithms like local search, like GRAPE or BFGS, we want to find maximum of objective. And here on the horizontal axis is amplitude of the initial control field in some arbitrary units, 0.1 to 1. On the vertical is a percentage of failure runs. So how many runs of local search algorithms were not able to find global maxima? And here, of course, with some stopping criteria, with some for some particular parameters of algorithms. So, and we can see what for 0.1 it is like, for GRAPE it is 100. And this 0.1 for some realistic system parameters corresponds to quite big intensity of 10 to 12. So, it shows what if we are close to zero, if intensity of initial field is up to 10 to 12 for some parameters, then we can feel this trap, so we can be trapped. So previous analysis, second order traps exist for systems with number of levels 3 or more. So what about two-level systems? And it turns out what this is Landau-Zener system. This control epsilon of t, delta is a positive number. It turns out what this system has no traps for all typical g of epsilon, which include all three previous cases, which I mentioned before. So two-level systems are trap-free. This is what we know. Two-level systems trap-free. For three-level systems and multi-level systems, we can have second-order traps under some conditions on system Hamiltonian. For this system, we also analyze influence of noise in the optimal control. So here the situation is ideal. There is no decoherence, no noise in the control. And we assume what epsilon can be any. Of course, in real situations, there is a decoherence. There is noise in the control, and epsilon is modeled as sum of cosinus, sum of periodic functions with some amplitude, and finite sum of periodic functions. So here, for example, results of analysis of influence of noise. Suppose we find epsilon zero is optimal control in the ideal situation. And in experiment, this optimum control is perturbed by white noise, either additive white noise or multiplicative white noise. When the average objective, epsilon E of G, average of G, will be less than maximum, and if noise is weak, there is a decrease of amplitude, decrease of objective minus delta. Delta is positive, which is proportional to square of intensity of noise. And we estimate this for transition probability and for generation of unitary gates. So for transition probability for additive white noise, In both cases, it's essentially it is the decrease is measured by time of a control. So to make influence of additive noise smaller, we need to use shorter pulses. And for multiplicative white noise, in both cases, decrease of objective is measured by energy of a pulse. E is energy, total energy of optimal pulse is zero. So to make influence of multiplicative white noise smaller, we need to use as less energetic pulses as possible. And for analysis of effects influence of noise, you can also see this work, also Matthew Grace is here, maybe he will tell about, I don't know. Yes. So this is the first part of the talk. We know what two-level systems are trap-free. For multi-level systems, there may be second-order traps. Now we go to the second part, control with engineered reservoirs. I will start with a paper of Altafini, FISRFA 2004, where he proves that Markov in open quantum systems with coherent control are uncontrollable. And he says what the lack of controllability naturally calls for richer classes of control fields than just unitary ones to be studied. So something, coherent control is not enough if you want to have full control over open quantum systems. And such richer class of control fields, in fact, was proposed and studied in our paper with Hesh Abis, teaching the environment to control quantum systems in 2006, where we proposed to use state of the environment as a new control parameter. And as Luis Davidovich mentioned, his historic experimentators are skeptical about using control of environment, say it is crazy. Actually, they do it regularly. They use temperature of environment, pressure to control, for example, chemical reactions. Of course, the question, but this is simple control, and the question is, can we use environment for more sophisticated control? And indeed, in this work, we study more sophisticated control of environment, to control quantum systems. And in particular, one result I will present later is what Markovian open quantum systems with coherent and incoherent controls, incoherent is this kind of control, become approximately controllable in the set of all density matrices. This is this paper, Engineering Arbitrary Pure and Mixed Quantum States. So, teaching the environment to control quantum systems. Consider open quantum system. Its density matrix satisfies some master equation. It can be Markovian, it can be non-Markovian. It has Hamiltonian component and dissipative component, which for Markovian case is Lindblad, but for general case can be any, not any, but belong to some classes. So epsilon of t is a standard coherent control, like laser pulse. And the L, this dissipative component, is usually considered fixed, but in fact it depends on state of the environment, on density of environmental particles in state omega. For example, if environment is incoherent photons or phonons, when they are distributed in frequency, it can be thermal, but in principle it can be non-thermal, any non-equilibrium density. And varying this n omega, it can be also time-dependent, we can vary L. So we can engineer, not arbitrary, but L within some class. So this is for Markovian case, Lindblad form of L and these matrices. For various models, there is explicit form how we depend on an omega. Here is general form. Of course, if we assume what we can generate arbitrary, Lg, then we can do anything with this system. Arbitrary generating arbitrary Lg, we can it is possible to show it. We can have complete control over the system. The equation what is in physics It is difficult to generate arbitrary. We have various special forms depending on kind of environment we have. So what can we do with these particular forms? And one physical example is incoherent photons, environment format of incoherent photons or phonons. Control in this case is spectral density of incoherent photons. Lindblad superoperator is known, well known for 50 years to have rigorously derived maybe 50 years ago. So to have this form, I, A, J are Einstein coefficients. One is spontaneous emission, and omega is induced emission, and this is induced absorption. And these operators LQ have this form. This QIG is transition between levels I and G. So this is one particular form of physically of Lindblad superoperators which can be physically produced. And the only quantity which we can control is this coefficient, which is arbitrary, in principle, arbitrary positive function. So what can we do with this restricted but physical form of controls? In fact, we can do a lot. And it was shown in this paper. We can engineer arbitrary pure and mixed quantum states. So we have initial density matrix rho I. We define, we fix arbitrary final density matrix rho f. And we want to find combination of coherent and incoherent controls which steers rho I into rho f, into our desired final density matrix. So I will show how to do it. So let's write spectral decomposition for final state. Pi are eigenvalues, I are eigenvectors. So it is a general form. First, we apply to our system incoherent control with special density of incoherent photons, which is determined exactly by these probabilities, by eigenvalues of the final state, by this form. And then under some general assumptions, initial state rho I will evolve into state rho tilde, which has the same eigenvalues as final state, but which is diagonal in the basis of free Hamiltonian. In fact, it is very, the idea is very simple, like if you have a system in contact with thermal buff, system will be thermalized. It will evolve to thermal state with the same temperature. But if the buff is non-thermal, is non-equilibrium, and system is in contact with non-thermal buff, it will also evolve to some state which is non-thermal and determined by density of buff. And basically, it is possible to show what for any, if we have levels 1, 2, n, for we fix any probability, just requirement, what we are in descending order, for any such distribution of populations, we can find the incoherent density and omega incoherent density of reservoir, which drives the system to this state. So basically, this is just generalization of thermalization property. And after that, it is easy, just apply standard coherent control, unitary rotation to rotate basis I to basis Ci of our target state. And finally, we have as a combination of these two steps, evolution rho I, the state is rho I is evolved into rho final. And the result, what we have complete controllability of our quantum system. We can approximately steer any rho I into any rho f. Approximately because, strictly speaking, this step requires infinite time, but convergence is exponential. So when we fix our admissible deviation, then we have some, we can go to close enough in any finite time to our state rho tilde. So this work proves complete controllability of Markovian open quantum systems if we have not only coherent control, but also incoherent control. And the proof is doesn't use Lie algebraic tools, it is by construction. So an interesting remark, what this scheme of previous slide is related to this work where we studied mathematically so-called all-to-one Krauss maps. Krauss maps are general evolutions of open quantum systems, and all-to-one Krauss map is a map which maps all states, all initial states, into the same final state rho s. So like we have here rho 1, rho 2, rho 3, all of them are mapped into the same final density matrix. They're convenient because if you find control which produces phi rho f, so this control will, such controls which produce phi rho f can be optimal simultaneously for all initial states of a system. And the theorem which we prove, what for any final state, the corresponding all-to-one Krauss map mathematically exists. And the question, of course, is it possible to produce them physically? It was disputed. Some people say it is not easy. And in fact, control scheme of previous slide gives a physical prescription for producing arbitrary all-to-one Krauss maps. So it allows not only to engineer arbitrary final density matrices, but also to engineer arbitrary such evolutions. So now I will mention several, there are many works, several works which consider various models for engineered environments, and there are applications to preparing entangled states by Professor Peter Zoller and colleagues. Then for improving quantum computations, inducing multi-particle entanglement dynamics, quantum metrology, as was discussed in talk by Luis Davidovich. And I will mention also two old, relatively old works on quantum computing with mixed states and non-unitary circuits. One is paper is by Aronov, Kitaev, and Nissan in 1908, which discusses use of mixed states, how they can be used to improve quantum computations. And another is paper by Tarasov in 2002. Some recent related works are preprints by from 2012, Grigoriou, Rabits, and Turinichi, controllability analysis of quantum systems immersed within an engineered environment, when Berkholm and Schultz-Verbruggen, where the role of environment plays noise, switchable noise. So simple switch of noise, it is like simple control over environment. It's possible, we were able to show what it's possible to transfer between arbitrary and qubit quantum states using this environmental control. And also a paper by Lorenzo Viola with colleagues on quantum state preparation by controlled dissipation, infinite time. So these are all preprints from 2012. So with this I conclude. In this talk we discussed first quantum control landscapes, where analysis of traps, which is important for determining the efficiency of local algorithms. We discussed several important results which were obtained in last years. First is what regular controls are not traps. Non-regular controls can be sometimes second-order traps for multi-level systems, and Landau-Zener system has no traps at all. When we discuss also control with engineered environments, such physical model as incoherent photons. In fact, in that paper, we discussed it also in our example, control which uses atomic or molecular gases as environment, but I don't discuss it in this talk. When we discuss creation of arbitrary pure and mixed quantum states and generation of all-to-one Krauss maps using these engineered environments. In acknowledgments, I would like to thank Marie Curie Fellowship, and thank you for your attention.
A bit more about the all-to-one Krauss maps.
Yeah.
The previous example you had with the engineered incoherent control, there was that's an initial state dependent in the first one example you gave, right?
Oh, sorry?
There's an initial state dependence in the previous example.
In fact, no. Good question, yes. I would like to mention a very good question, yes. In fact, this first step is independent of the initial state.
Oh.
It works simultaneously for all row I. Oh. Good question, yes.
So that's where you go then?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. This is why. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, this way you have some restriction on PI and PJ, right? Because
yes. So the state, strictly speaking, the state, they all should be different. But it is a dense set in the space of all density matrices.
But that should be positive, right?
Because yeah, right. Of course, very positive.
No, the n should be positive.
N should be positive, yes.
So PI should be larger than PJ.
Omega ij is, I think, yes, as I mentioned, we first create such state with p1 is greater than p2, p3, so in descending order, you see p1 is greater than p2, p2 greater, it's important, of course, yes, so we can create, but otherwise arbitrary, just descending order, we can create population, arbitrary population. It is similar to thermalization. For thermalization, we have special population, which is determined by eigenvalues of free Hamiltonian and temperature of a buff. But if buff is non-thermal, we can, basically I show, we can create arbitrary population subject to this restriction. Mm-hmm.
I want to understand this slide a bit better. So, you know, you made the comment that when you go from the initial state to the final state, to do it exactly would take infinite time. And then you commented that you can get approximately there in finite time. So I'm thinking specifically, when you say approximately there, I have some error epsilon, which is the distance between the state I want and the state I got. How does that finite time scale with, say, one on epsilon?
Convergence is exponential. Convergence to final state is exponential. So as far as I understand, this is the scaling. I mean, distance between evolution, like rho c.
I can't actually see what you're writing.
This distance is.
I can't see it. So.
You can see. Sorry.
It looks like black to me.
Okay. So convergence is exponentially fast. So this is how it converges. With some parameters, with some constants in the exponent.
So if epsilon is the allowed error,
yes,
and t, on that I can see it.
Yeah, right. Oh, and so and t. With some parameters, of course, these constants depend on a particular system.
Oh, so it's very fast.
Very fast, but these constants, physically, it can be nanoseconds depending on the parameters of the system. So, otherwise, it is fast, but depends on these constants. On particular system, depends on particular system. So, this is general behavior with some parameters C and A. Mm-hmm.
If you are a little bit off from this distribution for n, what final state would you be landing?
For
n omega ij, if they're exactly this number,
right,
then you get something. But if they're a little bit off, epsilon off, how would you?
Good question. How stable it is? Good question. I don't know, frankly speaking. I don't know the answer, so I don't want to speculate. But maybe as a comment, just a second. Of course, and you need to have these densities in frequency range of significant absorption and emission. So not only exactly at these transition frequencies, but in some intervals around them. So this is a comment, and I don't know how deviations will modify the answer. Mm-hmm.
Can you go back? I think it's the slide right before this.
Which one?
Yeah, back one more than that. Yeah, so here there's n omega of t,
Mm-hmm.
If the t depends on the omega, but in the next slide, n omega is not dependent on t.
It depends in a simple. First of all, this scheme is not time optimal. It is the simplest, like brute force, simplest proof. Maybe if we have an omega time dependent, we can do it faster. So here dependence is simple. After some time, we just set it to zero. So it is constant during some time, and then we switch off incoherent control in this step. So we set it to zero. If we use time dependence, maybe we can do this step faster. Or we can combine these steps together, coherent and incoherent steps, and do it faster.
In the physical model where you try to make the n omega by black body spectrum,
mm-hmm.
then is it realistic to assume a time dependence?
The question is how to make it experimentally. I don't know exactly. Basically, what you need is you need to be able to control intensities of incoherent photons at around transition frequencies of your system. So how to make it time dependent, I don't know. I mean, just maybe to use filters, light emission diodes, gas discharge lamps. So there may be various options, but mm-hmm.
This is the part that I also have a question.
Yeah.
That I guess probably the one important point that I've entirely missed is the following. You have an incoherent bath, and then you want to control the system, and then this, because you keep this bath athermal, not thermal,
mm-hmm.
then it drives this system towards an arbitrary point of your desire.
Right.
You chose the n of omega. Of course, the
varying
increases,
yes.
But
yes. Yes. Right.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
Now, the question arises that mm-hmm. the fundamental assumption here should be that if the system is left on its own volition, it will thermalize mm-hmm. both the bath and whatever the bath is imprinting on the system. So then, in order to keep the bath thermal, you have to be driving it externally. Continuous, whatever is it that you're doing. Otherwise, you cannot call it a bath. So it's not a closed, that is not the end of your story. So it has to be continuously kept thermal. Otherwise, you let this thing and you're saying, I'm driving the system with this thermal bath.
Yeah.
You come after a few seconds, the bath already has thermalized.
Yeah, very good question. So if a bath is a gas of atomic atoms, for example, then of course, if you haven't prepared initial non-equilibrium state, it will quickly thermalize. But if buff is photons do not interact one with another, so in this case, if you prepare it using filters, I don't know how, but they will not, if I correctly understand your question, so...
They will interact with the material, right? So if you expect, sure enough, if I put photons in an empty box,
yeah.
Any arbitrary population, they will never, one mode will not talk to the other, right?
Yeah.
But then you expect these photons to talk to the material, but
okay.
to thermalize the material. Through that talk, they will thermalize within themselves also, just like the black body will, right?
It depends on how big is your material, of course, if you have several just few atoms and you have source of... I'm not sure this is a big problem. It depends, of course, on your material, and the system is not big enough, it is ensemble, small ensemble of atoms, identical atoms, then it will not. Yeah, you have.
It's only the mm-hmm. thing that as you evolve the system, you also have to evolve the fact as well. And if you can drive the system within the time gaps.
Yes. So there is, of course, a question how strongly the system will affect buff. And you need, of course, source of photons. In some simple experiments, people use gas discharge lamps and then like a beam of krypton atoms passing through in some and they just use gas discharge lamp to control excitations. So gas discharge lamp is a simple source of n omega. So in this case, they have source, of course, a constant source of incoherent photons.
Okay.
Yes, which and basically this is the same idea. So we need, of course, to have some constant source.
And you can put a filter in front of it. Right.
That's correct.
Just a few quick comments. I think one thing you didn't mention, which I think is really a very possibly very important tool for reservoir engineering, is using measurement and feedback, this kind of direct feedback control, because that kind of circumvents the need for engineering non-thermal baths. I mean, there are other techniques, and really want to make a list, but the feedback approach, I think, actually has a lot more potential, but very few people have really, like, seriously considered that, I think.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's still hard to do, so this was one quick comment, and for Mary, the convention is exponential, but it depends on the eigenvalues of the super operator A, and if the spectrum is bad, and like you have eigenvalues that are zero or close to zero, and then you will not, then the convergence, basically that would be what limits your convergence. So ideally you would want the super operator so it has a nice spectrum, and that seems, that can sometimes be hard. Does that make sense? Like you have, it's always exponential convergence, but if the super operator A has a small eigenvalue, the rate can be infinitely small. If it has a zero eigenvalue, then you will not converge. So you have a larger invariance set. Does that make sense?
And it'll exponentially converge unless an eigenvalue is zero, and then it won't.
Exactly. Yeah. Then it will be a larger invariance set. And unfortunately, that can be a problem. But in a lot of cases, you can make it asymptotically stable. But engineering the eigenvalue so that you get uniform convergence, that's a harder problem.
So just the comment in this case, basic assumption would Einstein, all Einstein coefficients are non-zero. This is exactly the assumption that there are no zero eigenvalues. In this case, you will have convergence to arbitrary state. It is for this model. So all A are positive. And of course, I agree that there is an approach using feedback to generate, in fact, an arbitrary Krauss maps.
Does the feedback generate arbitrary Krauss maps?
Yeah, with unitary transformations, combine it with unitary, with arbitrary unitary transformations.
But then you might have a problem, because then you need the feedback to be switched on and off all the time, and this could be, because I think you can stabilize any state, but because the feedback fundamentally prevents you from basically doing a unitary transformation, so I'm not convinced that with the feedback you can do arbitrary Krauss maps. Now, of course, if you allow yourself to switch the feedback on and off randomly, then maybe you can do it, but that might be a harder thing to do, because then you would have to have, like, very fast unitary control.
Assumption here that yes, that's unitary control.
If you allow that on top, arbitrary, like fast unitary control, then probably you can do it. Although in practice, I would be more.
Yeah. But I also refer to this paper by Seth Lloyd and Lorenzo Bajolova, where they discuss Krauss map engineering using simple feedback and quantum measurements. As far as I remember, they discuss engineering of arbitrary Krauss maps.
Right.
And they use simple feedback and arbitrary unitary transformations.
I don't know exactly. It might be equivalent, but I don't know at the moment. So maybe if you can engineer, if you can go from any state to any other state, is it equivalent to engineering arbitrary Krauss maps? I think it might actually be, I think it might be a problem, so I don't know. It actually is the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think we had an interesting session today, so let's thank the speakers.